Our scripture readings this morning are taken from scriptures that both Rose and Ruth Ann have suggested. Okay, Lamentations 3, 31 to 25. But this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I will have hope in him. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I will have hope in him. And then Nehemiah 6, 5 to 9. In the same way, Sanballat, for the fifth time, sent his servant to me with an open letter in his hand. And it was written, "It is reported among the nations, and Geshem also says it, that you and the Jews intend to rebel. That is why you are building the wall. And according to this report, you wish to become their king. You have also set up prophets to proclaim in Jerusalem concerning you. There is a king in Judah, and now it will be reported to the king according to these words. So come, therefore, and confer together." Then I sent to him, saying, No such things as you say have been done. You are inventing them out of your own mind. For they all wanted to frighten us, thinking, their hands will drop from the work, and it will not be done. But now, O God, strengthen my hands. And I pray that God will be with you as you share your stories, Rose.
As I look back over my life, I can see God's hand of faithfulness and love. The song, "Great is Your Faithfulness," has been a family favorite in my Brubaker family for a number of years. When I was 7 years old, we as a family moved from Lancaster area to Harrisonburg, Virginia. As I think about my childhood, I feel blessed to have lived in the EMU college community, where people came from many places in the U.S. as well as from other countries. We were privileged as a family to learn to know some of these persons and have them visit in our home. I remember hearing speakers such as Johnny Erickson and Corrie ten Boom. I am also thankful for a dad who was a great listener and encourager in my growing up years. When I graduated from college, my family moved back to Lancaster, but I stayed in Virginia, and after teaching there for 3 years, I felt that God was leading me to Pennsylvania to teach at Locust Grove. Those next 6 years while teaching at Locust Grove were years of growing up in my life. I experienced God's love for me as I never had before. There were many wonderful speakers who came into the Lancaster area. Scripture songs became meaningful to me, and there were lots of opportunities to grow in experiencing God and His presence, and also opportunities to relate to many other young adults. While teaching at Locust Grove, I had an opportunity to travel in Central America with two other persons one summer. I spent two other summers in Guatemala living with mission workers, enjoying the Quechua Indian culture, and witnessing the growth of the church there. Those were wonderful summers of blessing. As I look back now, I see those years of singleness as a time of great blessing in my life. I had wonderful opportunities for developing many friendships, opportunities to travel and experience other cultures, and it was a time of growth in my relationship with Jesus. Although I'll have to admit that at the time, I did not necessarily consider my singleness a blessing. After teaching at Locust Grove for 6 years, I felt God leading me into the YES program. I was part of a team of eight who studied at a Youth with a Mission school in Scotland. did outreach on the Shetland Islands, and then our team of eight went to Germany for our outreach with Eastern Mennonite missions. I thank God for this positive experience of 3.5 months with YWAM, where I received Bible teaching and learned to know young people from backgrounds different from my own. Being part of the YES team had an added blessing. It was here that I met Chris, who was the leader of our team. After returning to the U.S., we began a dating relationship and felt that God was leading our lives together. 1.5 years after we were married, we were looking forward to the birth of our first child. Several days before my due date, I had the scary experience of feeling no movement of the baby, and then the next day finding out that my fears were confirmed, our child had died. The next several years were difficult ones of disappointment and grief, as I would hope to get pregnant, then had a miscarriage, but we were not blessed with children. And then, a little over 2 years later, while I was still dealing with disappointment, we became instant parents to Carmen and Eric, ages 13 months and almost 5. And my family lost beloved members of our family, my brother Chuck and his wife Joyce. Often we as people want explanations for happenings, and this was a difficult case. One person told me she had been praying for us to have children, and I think she had some guilt when this happened, because of course this is not what she had in mind to happen. The older I get, the more I am aware that we cannot figure out why things happen or why God allows some things to happen, and it's not really helpful to try to figure it out, and in fact, it can be harmful. Suffice it to say that Chris and I, as well as Eric and Carmen, both faced losses in our lives, and we were able to be a family for each other in our losses. As I look back, I see God's faithfulness and love when Chris and I and Eric and Carmen lived in the hills of Kentucky for 1.5 years when they were in elementary school. Chris and I wanted Eric and Carmen to experience another culture and to see that many in the world do not live like people they knew in Lancaster County. We loved the people in the friendly Southern Baptist church where we attended, and what wonderful friends they became. In fact, it was very difficult to leave these church friends. We had neighbors in our holler who lived very different lives from our friends and neighbors back home, and I was especially blessed by my friendship with Beverly, who was from the holler and who I met at the bus stop. I continue to be blessed by people that I feel God places in my life as I open my life to His guidance and leading. I am very thankful for the wonderful people I work with and that I am learning to know at Lampeter Elementary, where I work as a paraeducator. I also experience God's love in chance meetings with people. Several of these meetings stand out in my memory as I met someone at places like Oregon Dairy or Walmart that I had not seen for a long time, and it was a blessing to reconnect for a few minutes. I always go away feeling blessed by God, knowing that if I would have been several minutes later, I would never have seen that person. I've also felt that many times God led me to just the book I needed to challenge and encourage me. I praise God for His faithfulness and love in my life. I've always, for as long as I can remember, had fears and worries and have found it difficult to trust God. But God has continued to love me and encourage me along the way. I find it interesting that so often in the Bible, people are told to fear not. For example, the angels told the shepherds to fear not. And God told Joshua not to be afraid or discouraged. There are many verses in Scripture that tell us to fear not and to remember that God is with us. Many verses, especially in Psalms, also talk about putting our trust in God. I have been realizing how much I am dependent on and need Jesus to help me in my trust journey. This past year or year and a half has been a very difficult faith journey for me. I am seeking to learn and am finding that as I release problems, situations, and troublesome thoughts to Jesus, He is able to bless me with His peace. Many times it's not an easy journey to retrain my thoughts. However, there's one thing I can always count on, one essential truth. God is with us. Even when we can barely feel His presence or see light in our tunnel. A book that has blessed me in the past year and a half is the devotional book, Jesus Calling by Sarah Young, as well as this devotional book, Jesus Today, by the same author that I've been reading more recently. She talks a lot about trusting God, that God is in control and will give us everything we need. So I'd like to end with several thoughts from the book, Jesus Today, that have been meaningful to me in the past few weeks. Thoughts that I am seeking to incorporate into my conscious thoughts. I will give you everything you need to cope with the challenges you face. Don't waste energy projecting yourself into the future, trying to walk through those not yet times in your mind. This is a form of unbelief. I have unlimited resources to provide what you need, including a vast army of angels at my beck and call. When world events are swirling around you and your personal world feels unsteady, don't let your mind linger on these stressors. Tell yourself the truth. Yes, this world is full of trouble, but Jesus is with me and He is in control. It is this "but Jesus" factor that makes all the difference in your life. But Jesus is with me, and He is in control.
Twenty-seven and a half years ago, when I received the diagnosis of multiple sclerosis, I cried out to God, "Why? Why did this happen to me?" MS is a sometimes disabling neurologic disease for which there is no cure. It involves inflammation of the central nervous system followed by the loss of the protective myelin which surrounds nerve fibers. Myelin is like the insulation surrounding and protecting electrical wires. When myelin is damaged, nerve impulses are not transmitted correctly. This can affect many parts of the body. Its course is unpredictable. Symptoms can improve, but then may come back again. For me, the symptoms started with numbness at the end of one of my fingers. As time went on, my hands got weak, and it was very difficult for me to hold a pen or a pencil steady enough to write or sign my name or do anything with a pen or pencil. There were times when Merle had to cut my meat for me. How would I care for my husband and children? At that time, our children were ages 8, 11, and 14. And what about my job, teaching preschool, which was something I really enjoyed doing? My diagnosis came in the spring, and I was able to finish that school year. But as things seemed to be getting worse, I didn't see how I could commit to going back the following year. Doris Nold, who was the preschool director at that time, did not want me to give it up. She said she knew of someone who taught with her husband that had MS and maybe had to take a few days off here and then, but they could still teach. Well, God was speaking through DARS, and that summer my health did slowly improve, and I did go back and teach preschool the next year. That summer, I started having problems with double vision. I remember I was driving one of our children to the doctor, and I started seeing two white lines at the side of the road. That was scary, and I was very thankful when I was safely back home. Again, I wondered, how could I teach in the fall if I was seeing double? There were three weeks that summer when I didn't drive because I felt it wasn't safe. But slowly my eyesight did improve, and by the time school started in September, the double vision had mostly cleared up, and I continued to teach for the next 12 years. Then October or November 1998, I began having weakness in my legs. I don't remember if I ever actually did fall, but I felt very unsteady. Now what about preschool? I did keep teaching until the Christmas break, which was three weeks long, and it was decided that I would also take the month of January off, and we'd go from there. That was a long month, but at the end of that time, I did feel more strength and was able to go back and finish the year. I returned to preschool again the next fall, but that year was a very hard one for me. From time to time, I was experiencing sharp pains in my head. Many days I would leave preschool feeling very exhausted. I didn't feel like I could take another step. When the time came in early spring to say if I was going to return in the fall, I felt like it was necessary to say I wouldn't be coming back the next year. That was a very difficult time. What was I going to do with my time now? I always enjoyed working with children, but my body was telling me that it needed to stop doing what I was doing. I was going to have to find something which wouldn't involve being on my feet so much. Soon after LMH started that next school year, Merle called me one day and said they still needed a volunteer to help one afternoon a week in the school office. I decided to try it, and that led to a full day, and it's something I still do every Friday during the school year. I've also filled in at times on other days when someone else from the office is out. Through being there in the office, I've also got involved in selling tickets at sports events, volleyball games, and baseball games. And I've also got involved in selling tickets for the school dramas in the box office, and that's something I've really enjoyed. I wondered what I was going to do when I left preschool, but God had lots of opportunities in store for me. And I really didn't leave the preschool. I just left my head teacher position. I've been able to go back on various occasions as a substitute. It has worked for me to just be able to go in and not have to set up or do other preparations and then be able to leave as soon as class is over. And then there's sewing. A year or two after I stopped teaching regularly, I decided to make a few school kit bags. I had done quite a bit of sewing when our children were little, but at that time I wasn't doing much sewing anymore. I found I really enjoyed making the bags, and people started giving me material, and it's now something I spend a lot of time on. I tell people that Merle counts his bike miles, and I count the kits I make, the kit bags I make. I certainly don't do this for every bag I make, but from time to time, I like to pray a blessing on the person who will receive that kit. When I remember how weak my hands were 27 years ago, I am especially thankful to be able to use my hands to sew. God has blessed me in many ways. I'm so thankful for a wonderful, supporting husband. I know there have been disappointments. There are things we would have done if I didn't have MS, but Merle continues to assure me of his love and faithfulness. Other family members, as well as my church family and other friends, have also supported me. Soon after I learned I had MS, I was really touched when Lois Brubaker told me she put my name on a card and put it up near her kitchen sink, and thus she was reminded to pray for me. And I remember Sue Rush, as her name was then, that last year when I was teaching and was really struggling, she loved to cook, And she said, "Some days I'm just going to stop by your house and bring some food. And if you need it that night, fine. If not, you can put it in the freezer." And Sue did that on a couple occasions. And Neil, I don't know if you remember this. You were at EMU when I received my diagnosis of MS. You sent me this in the mail, and it's been in my Bible ever since. It's very tattered. It's a page from our Daily Bread devotional book. The reading is entitled, "Oh Yes, He Cares." The verse it emphasizes has been very special. "Cast all your cares upon him, for he cares for you." 1 Peter 5:7. And I guess the preschool teacher has to have show and tell, don't they? My father in his retirement years got into making some fractures. He made this one for me shortly after my diagnosis. He wasn't a professional about this, but it's very special. It says, "The word of the Lord, do not be afraid. I am your shield, your very great reward." Genesis 15:1. "And I am the Lord who heals you." Exodus 15:26. This card was sent to me by a friend, and it's been on my refrigerator the past 27 years. You can tell how yellow it is. "The Lord himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged." Deuteronomy 31:8. I still don't know the answer for why I have MS, but I do know God loves me, is faithful, and will always be with me. And in closing, I'd like to read this little saying that I also have in my refrigerator. "I don't wish to know about tomorrow, for the trials of today are enough to keep me busy here in life's pathway. So, Lord, I trust you. The future is all thine. Just help me to live one day at a time."